Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In this episode of 15 Minutes, we talk openly about recreational drug use. This is just a trigger warning, really. It might not be for you. It might not be for people around you. So just bear that in mind when you're listening. Minutes on the timer, and the subject is drugs. And I presume by that we mean recreational drugs.
Yeah, not paracetamol or aspirin, although people do get addicted to them. There's this big thing about Adderall and things like that in America, and Xanax, which are typically drugs that are, have a medical practice or purpose. And they're being abused. There's all anything that changes your perception or changes your outlook on the world has long since been abused or used, depends how you look at it, by human beings. So there is a big taboo around drugs that I don't think needs to be there. I think we need to be much more open about them. We need to acknowledge that 99% of young people are going to be confronted with, you know, the option to take drugs at some stage. And giving those young people, and having a society that understands that, and giving those young people as much opportunity to learn about those scenarios, it just gives them the correct ammunition to handle any kind of, you know, situation that they find themselves in. So I really think with this taboo, I'm not saying everyone should go out and start taking drugs or anything like that, but I really think this conservative taboo we have around drugs is really unhealthy and unhelpful.
I was absolutely a victim of that taboo, in that my whole thinking around recreational drugs was moulded by society's taboo. Until I met you lot, basically. I mean, that's shocking, really. So 10 years ago, I was mid-20s before I thought, oh, maybe drugs aren't evil and wrong.
Really?
I literally just thought bad people take drugs. The only people that take drugs are bad people.
What, basically. Up until 25 you thought that?
Maybe not quite that late, but a long time, longer than I should have done.
Why, though? Where do you think that comes from?
I guess it's school, it's television and the media.
Well, we grew up during the Just Say No campaign. Do you remember
Zamo
overdosing? Leah Betts was a massive one. So for those that don't know, most will. Leah Betts was a young girl who took an ecstasy tablet and died, essentially. I mean, the reasons why she died weren't directly related. Well, the pill was involved, but it wasn't in itself the thing that killed her, which is not the way the newspapers reported it. But everyone has the image of this girl etched onto their brain, don't they? Windy. I mean, I grew up around it, not open drug taking. Things like, I wasn't watching my dad shoot up on the sofa. Like, it weren't. So I grew up around it is the wrong way to put it. But it wasn't. As soon as you get into sort of teenage, you become a teenager, it was just there, it was around. People were smoking spliffs at school. And then my social group you know, there was a lot of use of recreational drugs there, like MDMA pills and cocaine. It's much, much, much more common than most people who aren't involved in that world would believe. It's everywhere, in fact, especially cocaine. But very normal for middle to working class English boys, men especially. You get exposed to these things quite early on. But I was a late adopter in drug taking. I was about 22, 23, because I also had that fear that I was going to be Leah Betts. I thought I would be the one that dies. I would be the one that overdoses or whatever it be. It'll happen to me. That's where I was.
That definitely played into it for me, the worry that something could go wrong. And I've never taken any recreational drugs other than alcohol. And the main reason why nowadays is exactly that. It's like a health concern. It's worried that what if it affects, it's not my physical health, but it's my mental health. What if it creates anxiety? Because I've heard stories of people saying that drugs help their anxiety, but I've heard as many stories from people saying that drugs have caused or fed into their anxiety. So I don't want to open myself up to something that could give me anxiety. As we've spoken about before, I suffered with anxiety when I was in my early 20s, and returning to that is not something I would really want to do anytime soon. So it's best avoided for me, I think. But the legality issue was the thing that would have stopped me back in the day. It was a moral thing, actually, because that's how it's presented. It's legality presented as well. Drugs are wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, but like, what's wrong? I mean, what's considered to be drugs, and why are these drugs okay and the others are not?
Exactly, exactly.
You know, I've learned as I've got older not to glorify drug use. And I'm really, really cautious now about what I say, whereas previously I weren't. I'm like, yeah, get on it, let's go. Do you know what I mean? And I don't think there is a drug out there really that makes your life better in the long run. You know, you might go out on a night out and do a bit of gear, and it in that moment makes you feel good, gives you confidence, chat to girls, whatever it is that you want to do.
When you say gear, you're talking about cocaine?
Yeah, sorry, cocaine. Actually, gear means, for a lot of, it depends on where you are in the world, gear can mean different things. I think it means heroin in some places. But yes, sorry. Gear is cocaine in London for most places. Yes, it gives you the confidence, but it's not a healthy thing to do at all. In fact, it's massively counterproductive. My friend Nick, who we're working on a drugs podcast together, he said drugs are fine as long as they don't cost you more than the price you pay for them. And when he said that, something clicked. I was like, almost every drug I've taken has cost me more than what I paid for it. And that might mean I lose the next day, I don't work as well as I should do at work the next day, or I'm not as into the conversation with my missus as I should be because I've got a dreadful come down, or I'm on a Tuesday after a big session at the week and cry my eyes out for no reason, right? So there's a cost for everything. So I would never glamorize it in the way that I have done previously. It was quite an immature thing to do.
I remember listening to The Fighting Cock, your podcast, back in the day. We're talking like literally 9 years ago now. And I was really quite shocked by how open you and others were about talking about your use of recreational drugs.
Because I don't even remember
I mean, you would like, you said that you don't
you don't glamorize it anymore.
Yeah, exactly. You've stopped glamorizing it because you don't want to encourage it for the wrong reasons.
Yep.
And when you talk about drugs now, you always kind of give a caveat, but you never used to do that. Yeah. And I found it quite shocking from my kind of innocent, sheltered world. I was like, holy shit, like, these people are like proper, inverted commas, druggies. Like,
really?
Yeah, wow. that's like, honestly, that was my early impression. And I remember seeing tweets about the podcast saying, really love the podcast, but don't like the drug chat. And there's just such a clash of cultures there. People who are around drugs a lot and are used to it, and people who aren't. And it is, for all the reasons we've mentioned so far, society's moralistic framing of drugs creates this.
Yeah.
And
it's damaging as well. It's a damaging... For you, it worked out fine, Windy, right? Because you've got a great life. You've created a great life for yourself and you're doing well. Yeah, in every way that someone should be doing well, you are, you know what I mean? Things are going well for you because of the work you put into yourself and your career and that. But there are other people out there who have a less stable upbringing and not great parents and not a great relationship who are hindered in their understanding of the situations that they're going to walk into because of this taboo that society has around drugs. The kid at a party, right? And he might not be a kid, he might be 18, he might be 20. You know, I didn't take my first pill until I was 24. So in that time, I could have been offered something. Peer pressure could have happened, right? I'm at a party and these pills are going around and I don't really know what they are. And the strength of pills, i.e. how fucked up they get you, they've never been as strong as they are right now, right? So what my understanding of this, the strength of this pill here that exists in today, is completely different from what it would have done to me 10 years ago. Now, I know this because I know about it, right? And I've read about it and I'm interested in sharing this information to help people and protect them, right? If I were to take the pills now are four times stronger on average than they were 10 years ago. If 10 years ago I would have taken four pills at one, I would have been in hospital. It would have been an awful experience. And if a kid doesn't know that now, going into it, they look at it and they just see a tiny little pill. That's all they see. And you think you wouldn't pick up a bottle of vodka and down it in one, but you would take an entire pill because it's tiny. How much damage can it do? And the answer is a lot. So it's important for kids, if they're not afraid or they're more susceptible, or they're going to be in situations where they're going to be offered, to have the knowledge. And it's being stopped by this taboo. And the irony here is that the politicians and the lawmakers here are all on it. They're all on cocaine.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a broad stroke, but the cocaine is everywhere. It's literally everywhere. In every pub you go into, in every restaurant you walk into, it's everywhere, mate. You wouldn't believe it. I can't remember what the stats, so I'm pulling this out of the air, but it's more or less right. Cocaine is on something like 99.9% of 20-pound banknotes.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jesus.
It's on everything. It's everywhere. So if it's everywhere, but society won't acknowledge it, how are you ever going to ensure that this is safe? And do you know what else would be? This is proper sort of lefty liberalism here, right? But how much help Oh, how much benefit would a taxation on all drugs? Drugs that are controlled?
I was literally about to say this to you.
Go on. Tell me.
No, I mean, it's why would the government not consider legalising drugs? Because the amount of money that they could make would be insane.
Obscene amounts of money. And the only thing I can think of is politics won't allow it. The people won't allow it. There's enough people.
Middle England won't allow it.
Exactly, yeah. That you would never get elected if you had that policy. But it would generate so much money for the economy. So much money.
Exactly. But what they could start doing, I think this would be a sensible approach, if they want to retain votes but also start to think about changing prohibition laws, they should start having open conversations in Parliament, because if you let it seep into the public conscience, then you can start to then change opinions, and actually it might be a generation down the line when anything actually changes. But if you start having those conversations now, you can fast forward a little bit. We're going to have to do another episode on drugs, because we've covered so little ground, and I just feel like the time's almost up already. But one thing I wanted to say, what does it feel like when you take ecstasy? What's the experience?
Well, it's called that for a reason. It makes you feel it's different for different people. How can I explain it for me in a way that isn't, again, glamorizing it? You start to feel tingles in your arms and legs and in the kind of pit of your stomach.
Good tingles?
Oh yeah, incredible. Like, lovely. Yes, a mild anxiety generally, like a just that feeling of it, like it's almost like adrenaline starting to pump, and that feels similar to when you feel a bit anxious. And then there's just a rising rush. It depends how much you take. If you don't take small amounts, you don't always get that rushing sensation. But if you take a significant amount, that's enough for your body shape, and depending on what you've eaten, there's so many different variables about how a drug impacts you and why it's different for everybody. But yeah, you get this wave of tingles and rush of gladness and at peace with the world and at peace with each other, but this huge just rush of euphoric feeling. You feel euphoric. It's pure euphoria, and that happens for maybe 20-25 minutes, maybe longer. It's hard because time, your understanding of time changes a lot, and then you just have a complete empathy for other people, and to want to hear them speak and to find out about them and who they are and how much you care for them, and you want to hug. Hugging is you can't get a better hug than if you're high on MDMA or ecstasy. It's just a very, very wholesome experience. The come down, however, is a different thing altogether. It's the polar opposite of that. It's a feeling of glumness. You don't want to speak to anyone. You feel tear.
Oh, Flav.
Mate, do another one.
Off in your prime.